Now, the infrastructure looks like this. You have the candidates, they have their PC, which they own. And this PC, they use in this classroom setting where they use in the exam setting, and they access the infrastructure and usually a wireless network, which is the school's own network, and communicate to some servers at the school and at the directorate, or driven by the county. So this is a little bit different for the different schools, and also for the different type of exams. What they are not allowed to use are the things here in this red blob. So they are not allowed to use some Bluetooth connection to some devices that might communicate with a mobile phone. They are not allowed to communicate with a wireless zone that somebody might have set up somewhere. And they are not allowed to communicate with some external helpers that might give them some answers. So the task of this system is to avoid the use of these red things, while the system has to give access to all the things in the green and in the blue zones here. And of course, when developing such an exam system, it must work. You know, okay, nothing is worse than the candidates are going there, they write something, and after 10 minutes, the system just crashes and they don't get access to anything. So this just should not happen. And the robustness and the must work requirement is one of the most important. Of course, as little administration as needed. And of course, it must be user friendly. This means the system should look as much like the system they are used in everyday's work. It must be secure, the system. And also as little education and training for all involved. And this means both for the candidates, but also, for example, for the invigilators. Yeah, the persons going around controlling that nobody is cheating. They should not have any or much extra training. Usually in Norway, these are pensioners, and their knowledge of IT is rather limited in general. The system must work with the LMS, the learning management system, and the infrastructure. And of course, it needs to work on all the candidates' PCs. So there is a variety of PCs the candidates have, and the system just must work there. Yeah, what can they use? So I just mentioned it before, but here explicit. They can use the network, the school's network, and this can include a wired network or a wireless network. I think today mostly wireless networks with some security measures are quite common. They can use, not for all exams, but for some exams they can use the intranet and the internet of the school and the internet. They are also, in most exams, allowed to have access to files on their own PC and to a server in the school, and maybe to some CD-ROMs or USB sticks where they have a special prepared information that they are allowed to use. Programs and applications are only those applications allowed which are useful for the exam. Other applications, for example, applications on the hard drive which could contain some chatting programs, they are disallowed in this setting. So here, what should you not use? Unwanted files, maybe. I think today in the Norwegian school, it's not so relevant with the files. So either they are allowed to use whatever of files they have or nothing. So this is a decision the directorate and maybe some politicians made. So then the intranet of the school, there are exams where this is disallowed. On the internet, it's of course difficult to avoid communication between the candidates because they could, for example, communicate via Google or some email servers or some other services on the internet. So there must be some things there that avoid that. And of course, and this is the most important, they are not allowed to talk to some external helpers who use some phone or some other applications just to give some answers. Other networks, there are Bluetooth, wireless zones, there are 3G networks, for example, or ICE, and there are also some other USB devices, PCM, CIA things, mobile phones, and so on. Sometimes these devices are very tiny, so you can't see them always just by looking at the PC. Now, how to solve that? So the first thing we thought about was, okay, how to solve that? We could just wash the PC. Yeah, this means every PC in the school is just checked whether it's fit for exam or not. And if there is something there that's not suitable for an exam, it's put into quarantine. And after the exam, everything is put back. Okay, you understand, of course, this is rather impractical and it's very, very labor intensive. And of course, there are privacy issues. There might be some content just disappearing during this process. You need high technical competency, which is not available, or is often not available. And I think this kind of idea is not the way to go. However, the advantage is the original operating system is used. Another solution is surveillance. And many schools are looking at this solution and think this is enough. There are several ways of doing surveillance. You could just do some network logging and network blocking of sites. Of course, this needs some type of infrastructure. Maybe you have to install some surveillance software on the PCs, which then requires something that works on all types of operating systems. So, and this is a kind of difficult questions. What can the candidates use, and what should they use? And if you have to install something on the candidates' PCs, then it is, of course, dependent of the operating system version and other things, whether actually this works. There are also privacy issues. This means on some systems where they actually log the keyboard, there are, of course, privacy issues. And an exam usually should be that only the result counts. How the result is performed and whether the candidates underways write something that's maybe not suitable for the eyes of a sensor, this is another matter. There's also the issue that not all communication can be logged. If you are installing some software, some sniffing software on the PC during the exam, then you can log everything, but you have a much work to check whether actually this is some cheating or not.
On the other hand, if you just observe something on the network, you cannot see communication between the PC and maybe a mobile phone. So I think also here it's difficult to judge, and also there are misjudgments possible. Say, for example, a candidate starts the PC, and usually the candidate's PC goes to Facebook and does something there, checks something. And this actually could then be done regularly during the exam by the PC automatically. However, it was not a cheating attempt. It was just some processes coincidentally installed on the PC trying to go out to the network and doing something. And there are so many cases we can construct where this actually can lead to some problems. Okay, there are other solutions. So we looked at thin clients. Okay, of course, you can just install a thin client, download the operating system and everything you need from a server, and this would do the job. However, you need a software, you need an infrastructure, and this infrastructure must be able to handle the number of PCs for the candidates. Thin client solutions, they are common, but the infrastructure might be, the infrastructure costs might be large. Network boot is another solution, which is a more thicker client than the thin clients, but in principle it's the same system. You need also some infrastructure. Application streaming, this is, of course, a solution. However, we consider it a kind of immature technology at the moment, and also it needs a centralized infrastructure at the schools. It might be that at some time this type of infrastructure could be installed at the directorate's infrastructure, but this doesn't happen for the time being. Kiosk systems, they are systems where the application covers the entire screen and you only have access to the exam system. And the last solution, and this is the solution which we went for, is a live distribution. This means that you start the system without any installation from an external medium, for example, a USB stick. You also could start it from a CD-ROM, but the USB stick has some advantages. For example, you can make a backup during the exam on this USB stick. Now, we made a little survey. What is used, actually? We just called all the administrations, the school administrations in the counties in Norway, and just asked them what they are doing. And what we found that the majority, they restrict the access to the network. This means they just block certain sites, or they open just for certain sites, for example, the site of the directorate, where they have to deliver the results. And that's it. There are some who restrict the laptop by modifying something in the laptop. They install some software, for example, a screen grabber, where they transmit the screen from the candidates' laptops to some invigilator terminal. There are also some, they are both restricting, this might be a firewall part, or just monitoring. Or it might be also to install a keyboard grabber here. And there's now one who replace things on the laptop, and this is Møre og Romsdal, with our solution. Now we looked a little bit further into how to do that, and there are the four directions here. You can modify something, you can monitor, you can restrict the network, and you can replace. And we made a small, a small survey what the different solutions, what the properties of these different solutions are. So I don't intend to go through all these lists. You can look this up in the slides, which are put onto the on the site of NUG. But these kind of the A to H requirements. They are that it must be a familiar working environment. It must be possible to deliver electronically. We must be able to perform the commands, the exam. You must be able to prohibit communication. You must have access to the aid, to the allowed aids, restrict forbidden applications, and so on. One thing we looked at specifically is the surveillance system. Of course, we need some. But when we are doing that, it must be minimal. So this means that no privacy marked information should go over there. So what we are doing is only checking whether the PC is on or not. And we do not look at screen dumps and other things. We are just looking at transferring whether the PC is on or not. And this is a kind of a minimal solution for surveillance. Of course, we need a simple setup, and we must be able to that the candidates utilize their own laptops. Not all solutions can do that. For example, if you modify the PC, it is about the ownership of the PC which decides whether this is possible. Now you could imagine that, the school purchased laptop doesn't work this day for the exam, but okay, the candidate has to deliver something. Takes another PC, maybe her father's PC, with a very important document there, and then they are now modifying the PC. Then it might happen that by some technical reason, this very important document disappears. And then, of course, you have the problem with all the lawyers and the damages and stuff like that, that something disappeared from a user-owned PC, or that some content gets on, is known for other people or is disclosed for other people, which shouldn't have been disclosed. Now the idea is to use the PC and then use here this memory stick and boot the PC with a memory stick. And this gives access to all the services, the external services that are needed for the exam, and to the dictionaries. And everything else is unchanged. So you don't need to make any changes to the infrastructure, and you don't need to make changes to the network. Here's the solution. We have three modules. We have the candidate module. This is the main part that we developed. And there's a simple administration module. And then there's the exam administration module. But OK, this is not ours. This is the one of the school or of the directorate. Here, we chose this memory stick booted Linux version. We chose Kubuntu. This communicates with the wireless network of the school and can present the status in a very simple user interface. So here you see every candidate, for every candidate, one line.
And as long as the line is green, everything is okay. If something turns red, you have to check what's happened, why the PC has booted or not answered. And the invigilator can check. And then if everything is okay, just reset this, then everything gets green again. Or do other proper steps if there was a cheating attempt. And of course, here the access to the PGS, the Prøvegjennomføringssysteme at the directorate, is of course also there via the wireless network. Okay, the candidate module is a live USB. It is a startup from the memory stick, and we used Kubuntu and OpenOffice as the text system. And there's no installation required on the PC because you just put in this here and it boots from that, and the PC stays unchanged after the exam. It has also automatic detection of hardware, but okay, you know this from, it's actually just a Kubuntu that's specially tailored for this application. We took away some things that shouldn't be used, and we just took in the modules that were necessary. You might ask why we chose Kubuntu and not Ubuntu or some other flavor of it. So the KDE had some ways to configure the operating system that makes it easy to block things. And this we used in our development. Here's a picture of the administration module, just a little bit larger than in the previous slide. So it's a very simple user interface. And this is implemented in PHP, so it's also a very simple protocol. So if somebody wants a more advanced system, this is very possible to change. Yeah, some musings about the economy. So, of course, there are no extra licensing costs. We use the free and open source software. And this means that maintenance and further development is possible locally at the schools. There is the issue of production of the memory sticks. I'm not sure whether it's a task for the teachers to produce memory sticks, but okay, you need some infrastructure to produce them. And these memory sticks, they are tailored in a way that the access to the school network is pre-configured. So they are exactly allowed to access the school network and no other networks. The existing hardware can be used. This means the candidate's PC can be used, and there it's, of course, essential to see who owns the PC, but this solution doesn't change any PCs, so you just make reuse of everything that's there. You also can actually think of making an memory stick driven exam system, administration system for the invigilators, so that actually all the PCs that are there can actually be used in the exam. And the costs are not high, just the production costs. It's about less than 10 euro per unit, and I think the prices are falling for these memory sticks. So from an economical way, there are no extra costs, but producing, or this means purchasing and configuring these memory sticks. The advantages and the challenges. So advantages, it locks out unwanted communication.
There is no PC washing involved. This means we don't change any PC. We don't have to put things into quarantine. It's rather easy to administrate. There are no extra licensing costs. There is no extra infrastructure needed. We can just use what's there. And the candidate's PCs are unchanged. Challenges are, of course, hardware support. So there are many different PCs. And not all PCs in the first trials, not all PCs worked. So we had to exclude older PCs, which are from maybe 2002 and older. These did not always boot from the memory sticks. There's also some buggy wireless network hardware out there, which doesn't support all the keys that we need today. This is, of course, a disadvantage. But okay, usually today, when the candidates go to school, they get a PC, which is rather new. And in some schools, they actually buy the same type of PC for all the candidates. And so this means the number of different flavors of PC is rather low. There are some issues with some hardware. For example, Macs are at the moment not supported. But this is, I think, rather a technical issue that somebody has to develop a right boot system for that. Not all applications are supported. So, of course, text, writing a text, this is done in some text system like OpenOffice. And there are two issues. Yeah, one is that some say that the candidates are not able to switch from Word or from Microsoft Office to OpenOffice. However, the answers they write in their exams are not so difficult to make. So it's just having some headlines, having some writing some text, formatting it, and doing some spell checking. This is supported in both systems, and it's not so different. What's different in OpenOffice and in Microsoft Office? That is, where do you find very special formatting things? But we asked the students after the exam tests whether they thought this was disturbing, and none of the candidates answered yes to that. However, all the teachers, or many teachers, were very, very concerned about that. So this is a kind of a conception by the teachers and by the administrators, or maybe the politicians, but this is actually no real problem for the students. Of course, what is a difficulty? This find somebody to maintain that. We, as a research institute, we cannot maintain this software on the long run. We can make a project, and we can show it works, but we are not able to support that on the long run. And then we have to find some organizations who maintain that, and also make the necessary changes. There are new versions of Ubuntu coming out. There are new hardware coming out. Some support must be there. This must be solved somehow. And of course, there are some issues of universal design. This means access for the some impaired people. There are is some hardware out that doesn't work on any flavors of Linux. And then, of course, we have a problem to run this exam system for these people. But these are kind of hardware and software incompatibilities, which are always difficult to solve. Now we had our rounds with the school authorities, and what we experienced here is that they are not used to free and open source software and not used to the model. Now, what's the positive side is we got all the teachers in these schools in Møre og Romsdal and one school in Trondheim with us, and they actually developed things. They found out, okay, they had a series of PCs where they didn't have any support for this and that wireless card, and they actually told us what they were missing, and they actually installed that in a version so that we can just, and they tried it out, and then we could just put this as a package into the Ubuntu repository. And also, they found out that there was some trouble with printing, and they installed that for their installation. There were also some problems with some configuration stuff in OpenOffice. I think there was some trouble with the French and Spanish symbols. And we could just put this into the repository. So we had actually the developers there. But okay, the school authorities, they are not used to that model. They expect a finished project, product, and this product they can purchase, and if it doesn't work, then they can blame somebody. So this is important for them. The thing is, here with this model, here, if something doesn't work, okay, we'll find a teacher who fixes that. Or we find somebody who fixes that. They are also not familiar with the work environments like KDE and GNOME and the differences to the Microsoft products, which are, I think, used to 80% in their schools. They're also not familiar with the possibilities to adjust things so that they actually look the same. And they're not familiar with the Office applications and the differences there. And there also, there's in some counties, there's a kind of lack of problem awareness. So they had a kind of a conception of, we do not want to monitor the candidates. So, and because this is the way we are doing it now. So they just say, okay, we don't look at this problem at all, and they don't cheat. And also one thing is the school authorities, or this means the directorate, is not responsible for how the exams are performed. The software and the hardware and the organization is actually a part of the municipalities in Norway, or the high schools. It's actually the county administration who are responsible to do this work. And this leaves that you have many different types of setups in all these schools, and actually no kind of central organization of that. Yeah, there's also the issue that fine-grained surveillance can be problematic. If you look too much into this surveillance problem, then if you use it too much, then there might be privacy issues and so on. Now, some experiences in developing this is we used the peer production model for free and open source software after the first prototype was developed. We used Ubuntu, but in the first time when we developed that, we did that as a two-person project where we decided how to do that, of course, in collaboration with the test schools and with the county. So, but okay, first we had, when we had a certain amount of setup and software, we could then ask the teachers to develop further, and they added driver support, they added printing, they added missing software, they gave us error messages and test results and so on. And it was also interesting that these peers were not selected somehow centrally, but okay, they volunteered. And this is actually just as the peer production model works. We got some volunteers, and they, of course, had the knowledge, and they were very enthusiastic about getting this to work. As I mentioned before, the politicians, they express support to free and open source software, but the administrations are not prepared to meet this kind of development. And they would like a finished product that they can ask for, and then you several send in some project that's performed, and this is the way they are thinking. We also saw that the free and open source software can work on a municipal and county level if they are willing to use that. And there's also a kind of willingness of the authorities to buy software from a nearly monopolist instead of looking into these free and open source software processes. Yeah, and this is one question I get quite often. Yeah, what about using Microsoft Windows and with a DigEx idea? Technically, I don't see any obstacles, so it should be possible to do that. However, the code is not open, and you need, of course, expertise to configure the operating system. And this expertise, I think, usually you need some certified developer. And of course, this is possible, but you can't use this peer production part of developing the system. And there are also licensing issues. So when we started that, actually the first time we looked into this idea was maybe 3 or 4 years ago. That was not possible. Microsoft said, you need an extra license for having this type of exam system. So this means you would have to buy an extra operating system license for every memory stick. And this made it, of course, impossible to use this idea together with the Microsoft operating system. However, now the virtual machine world has started somehow, and Microsoft was then forced to do some changes with the licensing. And now they have a kind of a virtual machine type licensing. And with this, you can actually use, as far as I have understood it, you can use another Microsoft operating system if you have on the same machine a license for a Microsoft operating system. So I think now they are thinking of using this type of license so that we actually can develop this idea also on a proprietary operating system. Why should we do that? There's still this concern that 80% of the schools are using some flavor of Microsoft operating system. And the concerns that some students might not be able to work with a different tool, it weighs much, very, very large at the authorities. There's of course, using Microsoft Windows in this type of project, we can question the suitability for prototyping, because you need these special engineers and to do that. And of course, you cannot get any contributions from the community. Now the road ahead. As I mentioned in the start, we are now trying to get the system out to more schools and also to get some maintenance through some local enterprises or at least some organizations who can do that. We try to extend to other operating systems if this is the way the users wanted to have it. And we also have to extend the functionality in some parts. So we cover many applications, but there are still some special applications it's not only text in these exams. It might be a mathematical application. And there I don't know what they are using. It might be some mathematical tools, which might be, they might be some Java-based, then it shouldn't be a problem, but there could also be some proprietary systems. And then we need to look at the use of Wine. But I think this can be a difficult way to go, but we have to look at that if we want to extend to other things than just answering something on the web and to write texts or maybe spreadsheets. There are also the issues of universal design. We have to look at that to make it suited for a larger target group. We might look at increasing the security. Now, the security of this system is based that this memory stick is owned by the schools, and they configure it. And there are two things. Okay, this has to be unaltered when it is started. And the other thing is it's not allowed that any virtual machine is underneath the exam system. Because if you have the exam system running in a virtual machine, then the PC can run another operating system in parallel. And of course, this doesn't make sense in this setting. So we have to somehow avoid that this happens. Now, for our case, it's rather easy because there is technical personnel there and they can look at the PCs when they are started so that there is no strange things. There are no strange things ongoing while the PCs are started. There we have experienced some problems with mounting of external USB sticks where the candidates can get their own content, because on every PC we cannot decide in advance what the name of the device would be. So, there are some difficulties in the version of Ubuntu we were using to configure this correctly. This means there is a problem with prohibiting executable access to memory sticks. So, of course, we have to avoid that they run any chat program. Yeah, then, of course, development doesn't stand still. There are new versions of Ubuntu, so we are now 2 or 3 Ubuntu versions after what we used. So in the meanwhile, they have changed the KDE version, which are major changes. So somebody must maintain that and has to change the settings and to configure everything here. So there's a kind of a work to go. So we have created a project. We used the Google Code website to host the project. And our test schools are, of course, contributing to this system. Yeah, this is what I wanted to tell you. Of course, I'm glad to hear some questions, if you have any.
No questions? I got one question. You said you need to make sure that nobody can cheat. Do you really need to make sure that nobody can cheat? Don't you just make sure you have to discover when someone cheats?
Okay, this is a kind of a philosophy question. The thing is, if somebody can cheat, so then it's always, if it's discovered, then it is always a question, is it actually a cheating attempt, or is it just something, was it just a dumb mistake by somebody? Yeah. So if you just want to avoid that it's possible to cheat, because if you, for example, yeah, I mentioned the thing with some software automatically going out to some website that is blocked. Of course, I think you just have to prohibit that this makes any damage. Then, okay, I detect as an invigilator somebody is trying to cheat, and then to punish this person because the person tried to cheat. But okay, in reality, the person didn't try to cheat. So this is a little bit the philosophy behind. So that if we detect that somebody is cheating, then it must really be clear beyond any doubt that this is a cheating attempt.
Where is the code? Where is the code for all this? I would like to download and use it myself.
The code is on a Google code project. You can look in the Google code repository for the name DigEx.
Okay.
And there you can participate as in any other open source projects.
Excellent.
Doesn't look like it. Then I think we'll just wrap it up and say thank you very much, Wolfgang.
Thank you.
Done.